It's the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report for Friday, July 2nd. So remember how we said the Nooshiegak fleet hauled in its record single-day harvest on June 30th? Well, they broke that record yesterday. The most fish caught in the Nooshiegak in a single day is now 1.8 million fish. Around the bay, fishermen have harvested a total of 9 million fish so far this season. Coming up tonight, the Nooshiegak fleet just broke its June 30th record for the largest single-day harvest in the district. Yesterday, it caught 1.8 million fish.
It's a math and reporting thing, but I think really that, you know, we probably had more than 2 million fish caught on June 30th and then just some carryover to July 1st. But either way, we're happy that the fish are coming in.
A look at those numbers. Port Muller's catches and stock compositions forecast that rush on the Noosh, but how do those genetic samples actually work?
You compare individual genotypes or what the individuals in that catch sample look like compared to the reference baseline.
How geneticists use genotypes to predict where the run is going, and a fisher in Naknek shares his thoughts about practicing subsistence and what that means for him.
Sharing, do not waste. How important the resource is, how important our land is to us. Yeah, leave things better than you found them, just like that.
Those conversations and more on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
I counted out his money, and it made a pretty penny. I put it in me pocket, and I took it home to Jenny. She sighed and she swore.
Let's take a look at the numbers on this beautiful Friday evening. The Baywide run is at 13.6 million sockeye. Over 60% of the total catch is from the Nooshiegak District. Around the bay, 505,000 fish escaped yesterday for a total of 4.5 million. Daily catch was 2.5 million. Bristol Bay fishermen have harvested a total of 9 million fish so far this season. Over to the Nooshiegak District, again, another record daily harvest in the district as the fleet hauled in 1,824,000 sockeye. That's the second day in a row where fishermen harvested more than 1.7 million fish. There was an average of more than 1,800 sockeye per drift delivery yesterday. The fleet has harvested 2,152 kings as well, and that's a total. Escapement was 359,800 yesterday for a season total of 3.5 million. The drift fleet has harvested 84% of the season's cumulative catch, while Nooshiegak set netters have caught around 11%, and Aguchik set netters hauled in around 2%. Taking a look at escapement by river, in the Nooshiegak River, nearly 190,000 sockeye escaped yesterday. That brings the season total to just over 2 million. The Chinook run was about 5,800 yesterday, and the total is at 32,000. A big chum run yesterday, 10,800 passed the counting tower, bringing total escapement to 55,200. Nearly 150,000 sockeye swam up the Wood River yesterday, and another 71,900 passed through this morning, bringing the Wood River's total escapement to 1.4 million. 19,300 fish ran up the Aguchik yesterday, and another 9,000 swam up as of 6 a.m. this morning. Total escapement there is now at 128,000. Over in Togiak, 1,700 fish were caught, bringing that season's total to 16,400. Let's take a look at the east side now. Things in the Naknek Quijack District continue to be on the up and up. The district's total run topped 1 million yesterday. The fleet caught 244,000 fish, with an average of around 320 sockeye per drift delivery. The total harvest is at almost 654,000. Of that total harvest, the district's drift fleet caught about 62%. Naknek set netters harvested around 20%, and Quijack set netters caught the remaining 18%. Total escapement yesterday was 107,400, bringing that total to 335,100. Breaking that down by river, in the Naknek River, 66,500 fish escaped. The total escapement is now 153,000. The Quijac River saw 30,000 fish, bringing that total to 132,000. The in-river estimate for the Quijac is 40,000 fish. And we finally have numbers for the Alagnac. Nearly 11,000 fish swam up yesterday. Igigik remained steady as the fleet harvested 300,000 fish yesterday and an average of 820 sockeye per drift delivery, bringing the total catch to 2.42 million. The drift fleet has harvested around 84% of the season's total catch, while set netters have hauled in 16%. About 34,000 sockeye escaped upriver, bringing Igigik's total escapement to 715,000. The total run for the Igigik district is 3.1 million. Ugashik fishermen harvested 169,000 fish yesterday. Their average haul per drift delivery was around 1,820, right up there with the Nushigak's fleet. Ugashik's total catch is at 395,000. The drift fleet has caught 93% of the district's cumulative harvest, and set netters have caught 7%. 4,100 fish escaped in the Ugashik yesterday for a total of 22,400. The total run in the district this season is 417,000. At the Chignik River, yesterday almost 8,000 fish passed through the weir, and by 9 a.m. this morning, another 138 sockeye passed through. This brings the season's total escapement there to 174,000. The early run is at about 164,400, and the late run is at 9,400, and that is for the Chignik River. Yesterday, Area M fleets caught about 47,000 fish across all species for a total harvest of 7.5 million. The fleet caught 21 Chinook for a total harvest of 3,000 so far. About 47,000 sockeye were hauled on board yesterday. The total harvest there is at 3.5 million. No coho were caught in Area M, and just two pinks were caught. Total pink harvest sits at 3.25 million. Total coho catch this season is at 802,000. Port Muller didn't fish yesterday. One vessel went out last night, and the other is out today. But we do have the 7th stock composition estimate for June 28th through the 29th. The results indicate 31% of fish are headed to, you guessed it, the Nushigak River. The Wood River might slow down a bit. It should see a little less than 5% of the run, and the Igushik estimate is 6%. About 16% of the run is headed toward Ugashik, and 12% headed to Igigik. In the Naknek-Quijac district, the Naknek River should see almost 8% of the fish heading their way, and Quijac will see about double that with 16%. The Alagnac River will see just 0.1% of this run. The Kuskokwim River should see 1% of the fish, and Togiak has about 0.1% heading their way. Not much elbow room in the Nushigak as we look at boat registrations now through Sunday morning. There are 559 boats registered in the district, 184 of which are D boats. That decreases by one on Sunday morning to 558 boats, while D boats stay at 184. Next up is Igigik, where 329 boats are registered, 101 of which are D boats. That drops a bit on Sunday with 325 boats. D boats stay the same. In the Naknek-Quijac, boat registrations are up to 293. 59 of those are D boats. On Sunday, those numbers go up to 308 boats, 63 of which are D boats. In Ugashik, there are 89 boats registered, and 43 of those are D boats. A slight increase on Sunday with 91 vessels, 46 of which are D boats. Finally, there are 27 boats registered in Togiak. That fleet will grow by 2 on Sunday to 29 vessels. We are going to take a short break. We'll be right back with you here on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
Programming support for KDLG comes from listeners like you and from Nomar, serving Bristol Bay for 40 years with the gear fishermen need. Online at nomaralaska.com.
We are back. First, an update on the boat that sank in the Nushigak yesterday. Authorities today identified the deceased as Lance Eric Norby, 45, of Arlington, Texas. He captained the fishing vessel Numa. Norby's next of kin has been notified. Alaska State Troopers report receiving a call around 5 a.m. Thursday morning that a commercial vessel was taking on water. Two wildlife troopers responded immediately. Before they got there, they heard reports that the three people on board were in the water. The two other people on board survived. Authorities credit Good Samaritans on the scene with helping in the rescue. The Inukshak District, again, broke its single-day harvest record 2 days in a row this week. On June 30th, the fleet harvested 1.7 million sockeye. Yesterday, it broke that record with a total catch of 1.8 million. Tim Sands, the district's manager, admits he wasn't surprised.
I think really most of those fish, a bigger chunk of those fish were caught on June 30th. We had the tremendous fishing early in the morning, but then we had the closure, and it opened again at 6 p.m. on June 30th. And then a lot of those fish that were caught after 6 p.m. weren't delivered until after midnight, so they count for July 1st.
Sands said the evening push likely put the June 30th catch again at around 2 million, but some fishermen probably didn't deliver those fish until the following morning.
It's a math and reporting thing, but I think really that, you know, we probably had more than 2 million fish caught on June 30th and then just some carryover to July 1st. But either way, we're happy that the fish are coming in.
The reason the fleet is able to harvest record numbers now isn't just because of the size of the run, it's also because of the timing. Since it's relatively early in the season, processors aren't burdened by large deliveries from other districts in the Bay. Yesterday, for example, the combined harvest from other districts was under 600,000 fish. In the past, when there were big harvests around the Bay, processors have limited the fishing time for their fleets when they didn't have the capacity to process all the fish. With two record-breaking days, Sand says the district will likely smash the Inukshak's preseason forecast of 15 million sockeye.
Right now we're at 9 million, so we're more than halfway there, and we don't think we're at the halfway of the run mark yet. So we're feeling pretty strongly, pretty confidently that we're going to go over 20 million now for a Inukshak run.
Sands says sockeye escapement looks good, and even the King Run looks better after a rough start. He thinks the large storm pushed more up the river. With so much excitement, Sands wants to remind folks to stay safe. He's heard that people are losing nets, potentially due to rough waters or boats laden with fish. Just stay safe. As the Inukshak fleet has hauled in over 1.7 million fish per day for the past 2 days, Igigik's fleet has had a steady flow of fish. The Naknek-Quejack, meanwhile, has had comparatively slow season so far. Alaska Department of Fish and Game Management biologist Travis Ellison says that pattern is typical.
The Naknek-Quejack district has a later run time, and then the Inukshak and Igigik districts. The Naknek seems to be about 2 days behind the Inukshak. Naknek escapement has really gone up just in the last 24 hours, starting the evening of July 1st. We started seeing big numbers of fish up there, about 10,000 fish passing per hour.
Ellison says managers will likely open up fishing more within the week.
We are not worried about low escapements right now. I'm actually more concerned about high escapements, so there's going to be a lot of fishing opportunity here.
Ellison expects to see more fish through the weekend with surges by the middle of next week. Everyone gets excited about the Port Muller stock composition estimates, rightly so, as they give us a sense of how much of the run is headed where. But how do these genetics actually work? How does the testing translate into stock composition estimates? The process is called mixed stock analysis, and it's actually a lot simpler than it sounds, says Tyler Dan, a fisheries geneticist with Fish and Game. He works at the Gene Conservation Lab in Anchorage. There are three main steps to creating a mixed stock analysis. The first is building a baseline of data for all the fish you might expect to catch in a given fishery.
For Bristol Bay, we have a pretty big, robust baseline of about 22,000 fish from 146 populations all throughout the bay.
Those are organized into reporting groups, or stocks. For Bristol Bay's baseline, those stocks are the nine major drainages of the bay, as well as the North Peninsula and the Kuskokwim. The baseline has to be characterized by genetic markers. They provide the raw data that shows how well you can discriminate among the stocks.
Given the geography and evolutionary history and life history of sockeye salmon in Bristol Bay, we're really confident in our ability to identify contributions from those 11 stocks. It just works really well with sockeye in Bristol Bay.
Okay, so that was the first step. The second step in the analysis is taking samples of the catch, whether from Port Muller test fishery or the inshore harvest. Geneticists characterize samples of that catch for those same genetic markers. Scientists target parts of the genome to characterize any given fish for that section of the genome. Those parts are called single nucleotide polymorphisms, or SNPs.
And they're just one place along the genome, along the DNA code, where there's a different letter, say an A versus a G. And it's those raw differences that provide sort of the raw material for us to characterize differences among stocks and use those differences in mixed stock analysis.
The third part, Dan says it's a bunch of math.
You compare individual genotypes or what the individuals in that catch sample look like compared to the reference baseline, and the math tells you what contribution each stock has to that sample.
Geneticists can estimate how much of the run is going where because each river's sockeye population is genetically distinct.
The fact that there are these latent evolutionary differences among populations that we can discriminate among populations quite well, and the fact that they return to where they were born with such high fidelity really makes this tool work well in Bristol Bay.
The turnaround for these samples is fast.
We received samples last night at about 7. Our lab manager, Heather, built the fish into our database. Our team began this morning at 7 with the DNA extraction process, and I expect to have genotypes here at about 1:30 or so.
Then all they need to do is put the data into a format the general public, like radio people, can understand. Dan shared a very helpful explanation of this genetic analysis, complete with pictures, which we'll post to KDLG.org along with this show. The fish are flying and you're picking the net like crazy. In all that action, you get a cut. What should you do? On this Friday's Health Checkup, Dr. Kathy Heinemann talks about some simple precautions for all the fish pickers out there.
Today, I would like to talk about fish finger. This is an infection that is caused by bacteria that live in the slime of fish, and despite its name, can occur in any cut that's contaminated with fish slime. As with all cuts, the first step in preventing infection in a cut is to wash it with soap and water, cover it, and keep it dry as best you can, which is admittedly not easy while fishing. You should check your cut, and if the skin around it starts looking red, swelling, or feeling hot, or if the cut starts draining pus, or you see red streaks running from it, you should get to shore and be evaluated. Antibiotics are the treatment for this infection, and the sooner you start them, the sooner you can be fishing again.
A federal agency stands by a previous determination that the Pacific Harbor seals of Lake Iliamna are not a threatened species. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration announced those findings this month. The Center for Biological Diversity submitted a petition to list the seals as threatened in February of 2020. NOAA denied a similar petition the center submitted in 2016. It did not find any new information that would change the 2016 decision. In its petition, the Center for Biological Diversity asserted that the Lake Iliamna seals face threats such as habitat modification or disturbance associated with the proposed Pebble Mine project, as well as climate change, illegal harassment, and hunting and fishing. Though the seal population on this particular region is small, NOAA determined it was not significant or distinct enough to warrant any concern. It's time for our weekly segment, Coffee with Kenzie, a show hosted by our Eastside Fish reporter, Mackenzie Mancuso. This week, Kenzie caught up with William Reagan, better known as Sonny. Sonny is a lifelong resident of the Bristol Bay region and is known around town as the expert on all things subsistence.
Can you just tell me a bit about yourself and your relationship to Bristol Bay?
Well, kind of born and raised here. Fished down the south side for quite a few years. Worked at the NEA power plant for 30 years. Just been hanging out here after that.
So who taught you how to live the subsistence lifestyle, and has it always been a part of your life?
Well, pretty much. Like I said, I lived on the south side. We fished there in the summer times, and pretty much subsistence is kind of the way you live out here.
I know you participate in subsistence fishing every year. Can you tell me a bit about your process? This can be anything from when you start, how long you do it for, what you do with your catch, anything that comes to mind.
Yeah, I start right off the bat when there's halibut around, or actually before halibut, if there's herring showing up on the beaches, I put my net out and catch them, and then go out for halibut, and then continue on with the salmon, and then like in the fall, we even go for smelt, and you know, there's a bunch of fish come here.
And what about any other creatures aside from fish?
Caribou, moose, every once in a while ptarmigan, but not too often. Yeah.
What are some of your favorite ways to process your harvest in the summer?
Well, mostly I smoke, so I make wide sides, and then later on I'll do strips. But mostly it's wide sides right now, and then I salt and freeze for eating too. So yeah, it's quite a few ways you can use fish.
Can you speak a little bit about what living a subsistence lifestyle has taught you?
Sharing, do not waste. How important the resource is, how important our land is to us. Yeah, leave things better than you found them, just like that, yep.
What would you like anyone listening to realize about your subsistence lifestyle that they might not know or understand?
It's good to do. I mean, it's a little bit hard sometimes, but it's good. I mean, it's rewarding is what I'm thinking of, yeah, more than anything, yes.
What advice do you have for young people who are interested in living a more sustainable lifestyle in terms of food?
Well, it's free out there, well, other than just doing the work to get it. So it's nice that way. And then you can get all the instruction you can or want from people, elders and other people doing it. It's good. Yeah.
Aside from feeding yourself and your friends and family, what other projects or uses do you have for your catch?
Oh, I do quite a bit of stuff with it, but I make ceviche, I make pickle fish, and of course I can up salmon, smoked salmon, and then make dishes with it like that too. So it's good. It's very versatile, salmon is, and so is moose, you know, and caribou. You could make sausages, and there's a whole bunch of stuff you can make out of, you know, dry meat, and yeah, it's all good.
Okay, Sonny, well, do you have any shout-outs, sign-offs, any advice or thank yous, words of wisdom?
Well, shout-outs would be to the elders that passed on all this knowledge to me, my mom, my grandmother, my aunties, Paul Chacon, Grandma Nicolette. Yeah, there's a lot of people that helped. See, I mean, you just learn from every day, and every time you, even younger people than you know how to do things better, so you just like look at, hey, that's a pretty good idea. Yeah, okay, we'll do it that way, and it goes good. Yep.
Okay, thank you so much, Sonny, for taking the time to speak with me today.
Yep, have a wonderful day.
That was KDLG's Mackenzie Mancuso speaking with Sonny Reagan about subsistence in Bristol Bay.
Support comes from Bristol Bay Events, providing event equipment rentals and services to the Dillingham area for any size event in and outdoors. Online at bristolbayevents.com or 843-1633.
Guess who's back? Back again.
Fish.
That's just about it for tonight's show. We're going to take a look at the marine weather forecast in Bristol Bay. Tonight, a south wind at 15 knots, seas at 2 feet and patchy fog. Saturday, south wind 15 knots, becoming a southeast wind in the afternoon, seas at 2 feet and patchy fog. In the marine weather forecast from Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, southwest wind 20 knots, seas at 4 feet, and Saturday, a south wind at 15 knots, seas at 3 feet. In the tidal forecast at Nooshigak at Clark's Point, high tide at 11:09 p.m. at 17 feet. At the Naknek River entrance, high tide at 11 o'clock p.m. at 18 feet. And at the Igigik River entrance, high tide at 9:49 p.m. at 14 feet. We have quite a few messages to the fleet tonight. The first, trying to get a hold of Ryan Andrew on the fishing vessel John O. If he could call either his dad or his sister, it's very urgent. To the fishing vessel Maverick, have a great season, heart emoji. To the crew of the fishing vessel Reflections, sending prayers of good fortune and safety to the captain and crew of Reflections 2 from Robbie. Go get 'em, guys. Birthday shout out to Cleland Moses. May God bless you on your special day. We love you from your mom, dad, and family. Thank you, KDLG, for giving me the opportunity to send a message to the fishermen and women of the Great Bristol Bay area. I hope that you are all safe, healthy, and most of all, maintain a positive spirit through your season on the bay. Captains, keep pushing forward and lead your team to a victorious season by coming home with the most respect from your crew. Deckhands, grind hard and don't let up. The payoff is very rewarding and an accomplishment of a season enduring the paces of the great Bristol Bay is tough work nobody can take away. Processors, much appreciation for the long hours on cold, wet floors and time away from family. The fishery cannot take place without you. Last, I would like to thank the great First Nations of Bristol Bay and the local community who are the core of the fishery. Much respect to you. With love and respect to each and every one of you for partaking in the greatest fishery on Mother Earth. Your friend from the Nez Perce Nation fishing the mighty Columbia River, Wesley Oatman and family. That is all for the Fish Report on this Friday, July 2nd. Playing us out tonight, the song Lady by Styx, dedicated to fishing vessel Crawdad from your secret admirers. I'm Izzy Ross. Good night, good fishing. See you back here tomorrow.
Lady, when you're with me, I'm smiling. Give me, whoa, 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 your love. Your hands build me up when I'm sinking. Touch me and my troubles are fade. Lady, from the moment I saw you standing, whoa, 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 alone, you gave all the love that I needed. So shy, like a child who had grown. Gently.